Philippians 4 in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4, we'll read a few verses, continuing our series on Think on These Things, and of course it's a promise. The promise is conditional. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding, and you should. But if you do these things, he says. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Father, thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity we have of opening our hearts and minds again as we open up your word. And I do ask, Father, that you'll help us to understand that we as your people should have a supernatural, inexplicable peace in this world of chaos and darkness. And in so doing, give you glory. And I hope we'll understand more, Father, and you'll show us more from your word of how that's possible in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think one of the things you'll notice as we continue this series that becomes very clear in the text is that the list of, and this is a list, but the list of things that believers are admonished to, quote, think on, these things that God promises peace if you think on them, has a certain theme. You'll look at the list and there's a commonality to it because it says, whatsoever things are true and also lovely, and whatsoever things are honest or honorable, whatsoever things are just, that promote justice. And then tonight it says, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are of good report. Obviously, God wants our minds to be filled up with good things. What's common about them? All of these things are on a much higher plane. They are far more heavenly than they are earthly. And that's certainly true tonight, obviously, with the word pure. It's the next word in our study. Whatsoever things are pure, he says, think on these things. The word pure is agnos. It means wholesome or uncontaminated. It was a word that often had to do with health benefits. It was used in medicine. In fact, in Paul's day, it was a word that was used whenever you refer to gold that was without alloy or water that had no bacteria or toxins. Pure gold, pure water. So that again, you can see it's that which is wholesome, not contaminated. After all, that which is wholesome is healthy. It's good for you. It is the opposite of contamination, corruption, pollution, contagion, adulteration, and so forth. So that God says, fill your mind whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things that are without defilement. And can we all just think for a moment about how far away from God we are in this matter? I'll remind you of something Jesus said in Matthew 14. The Pharisees had just criticized the disciples because they didn't wash their hands before they ate bread. And of course, Jesus stated that the real defilement was not in impurities that enter into the belly. Remember how Jesus reminded them that that's not really the defilement. He said it's the impurity that enters the heart. And they were shocked by that statement because they were focused on this. And very cavalierly we might say, yeah, we all agree with that. But the truth is, we don't agree with it very often. It's certainly not often enough. We don't consider it more important to keep impurities out of our heart and mind than it is to keep impurities out of our mouth. And I can prove that fairly easily. You know, we have hand sanitizer. I have some up here. This stuff we put in our hands all the time. You know, one of the biggest boons of the past 20 years, without a doubt, is the hand sanitizer market. Because, I mean, it didn't even exist, if you think about it, just a few short years ago. Not to mention in every lobby, and our lobby included, there's hand sanitizer. We shopped for decades and decades. They didn't have little wipes in Publix. I'm glad they do. But now they have wipes for your carts. People have it hooked to their purses. They have it hooked to their strollers. Babies are practically bathed in this stuff every day. And that's fine. I mean, I always want to wash the fellowship off after church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Amen. However, when Jesus said the Pharisees were fixated on the wrong thing, he was contrasting their concern about this over this. Which are we concerned more about? You know, recently there was a documentary about restaurant hygiene. They've had lots of these. And I don't know if you saw it. I saw 3 or 4 minutes is all I could handle, but they put these hidden cameras in kitchens. And I had to turn it off because the stuff that they do with your food when you're not watching, and especially, by the way, when you send stuff back, tell the chef it wasn't cooked right or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying it's the norm. It's not the norm in kitchens and restaurants, I hope, I'm sure. But I saw stuff they do even in fancy restaurants. Don't ever send anything back. That's all I've got to say. The point is this. When we think of someone's spit or someone's slime in our food that we're putting into our mouths, we automatically get emotional. I watched a little bit of that documentary and got angry that someone would do. I can't even tell you what they do or what they did. Well, we get passionate about that. You don't contaminate and you don't pollute something that I'm going to put into my mouth. I mean, and we should. I mean, if you ordered a hamburger and it had too much ketchup, what would you think if the server said, "Oh, I'm sorry," and he takes it off and he licks it all off and gives it back to you? I mean, you just had a visceral reaction. Suppose your baby drops her bottle or pacifier in the garbage can or the kitty litter or whatever. Are you just going to pick it up, blow it off, and plop it right back in her mouth? I've seen some of you moms. You don't think a single solitary germ is ever going to get into your baby's mouth. And then one day she's gnawing on a live cockroach or teething on your toenail clippers. You catch her. Now I'm trying to gross you out for a reason. Because why do we get all worked up and passionate about impurities? This is what Jesus told the Pharisees, about impurities for our body, but not so much for our soul. Not so much for our spirit. These same moms who would never want their children to drink bad water, and they protest the water in Flint or wherever, and I'm of course fine with that. Or they would not want their children to eat certain kind of meat. They're very ho-hum when their kids watch or listen to immorality or filth. We hear moms all the time say, don't let the baby put that in their mouth. Did you see what that mom did? She let her baby have a pacifier that fell on the floor. What kind of a mother is she? Judgmental. What kind of a mother allows her child to watch all kinds of vanity and profanity and blasphemy and thereby pollute, corrupt, defile, and contaminate the soul, the heart, the mind? Because if you remember what Jesus said in that text, he said that one of the indicators of our love for God is whether or not we obey his commandments. And when he talked to the Pharisees, he said, it's not what goes into the mouth that is defiling, because that, he said, is physically purged. He said, what goes into the heart and thus comes out of the mouth, because it's in the heart, that is what defiles. And so Paul says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are spiritually healthy and spiritually clean, think on these things. You know, Jeremiah said that one of the evidences of a degraded society is when the people in the society can no longer blush. In fact, Jeremiah 6:15 precisely says this, quote, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. It's not that they didn't want to blush. It's that they didn't have the capacity to anymore. Neither could, they didn't even know how to be embarrassed or bashful about sin or abomination. And of course that happens in societies, but it's not supposed to happen to God's people in the society. You know, in 1958, and I picked that year because that was the year I was born, 1958, a disc jockey was fired from his Miami radio station for having the gall to say two words on air. Tim, you worked in radio for decades. Two words. You know what two words he said on air that got him fired? He said the words make out. You're talking about young people and they're going to, quote, make out. Those two words were so shocking and offensive in South Florida that the man was fired for using them on air. Can you imagine how far we've come from that to shock jocks and sitcoms and our own politicians and including our own president that I rebuked from this pulpit once for taking God's name in vain? America doesn't blush anymore. But the sad thing is, neither do believers. And then those same believers wonder why they cannot have the peace of God promised in this text. Whatsoever things are pure. You'll notice the next thing on the list, because it's really connected. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. We spent a little time on that last week. All the things that are lovely that God has created. You have a universe full. Think on these things. A higher plane. The next words are these. Look at it. And whatsoever things are of good report. Now I want you to hear this carefully. Because what's interesting about the words good report, it's only one word in the Greek, and it's only found this one time in all the New Testament. This is the only one. The Greek word is euphemeo. It's where we get the word euphemism, which is also an intriguing word, euphemism is, because a euphemism literally is a good report. Webster defines euphemism as this, quote, an agreeable or pleasant expression to replace one that might offend. In other words, it's the truth, but it's the truth that is put in the best possible light, right? When someone says, someone dies and they say, well, he is at rest. That's a euphemism. It's a euphemism for he's dead. He is at rest. Another euphemism is airplanes are equipped with motion sickness bags. What's a motion sickness bag? Well, you know what it is. It's just a nice way of saying it. People say, we don't live near the garbage dump. We live near the landfill or the sanitary landfill where sanitary workers, which is a euphemism for garbage man. Sometimes the word euphemism is used as a euphemism. There's a book I remember reading to the boys, Dr. Seuss's night, and the little child asks if she can go to the euphemism, which is a euphemism for restroom. Restroom is a euphemism. You know, rest in there, but they call it a restroom. It's a euphemism for the bathroom, which is a reminder of something that writers call the euphemism treadmill, where it gets out of hand, like an illegal immigrant is called an undocumented worker, and so it goes. Well, guess what? Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is inspired to write about this text, and in this pure and original meaning of this word, good report, he says, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. The best part of the report. The best possible lighting. So you think about it. Whatsoever things are true, honest, justice, peace, pure, lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, this is how you receive the gift of God's indescribable peace. And I'll say it again. This is not a peace that you can bottle or formulate or prescribe or get in a seminar. This is God's peace. It is supernatural. Verse 7 says, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, the hearts and the minds are what you think on. And the things you are told to think on are given in this text. And so he says in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace. The peace of God and the God of peace. You know, folks, if there's a gauge, I think, a measuring stick, by which men evaluate the condition of the world at large and the condition of the world inside of us. I think the gauge is this word peace. The idea labeled peace. Shalom, salam is the most oft-repeated greeting in the history of the world. Hundreds of millions, perhaps billions of times a day, the word peace, salam or shalom, is repeated all over the world. When people talk about at the end of a year, we're almost at the end of this year, the beginning of a new year, you know how New Year's Eve is, they'll say, what do you wish for? They almost always say, well, the answer is, I wish for peace in the world. I just want peace. The Bible says there is no peace, not in the world, and for most of these people, not in their hearts. So then how is it that a believer can have supernatural peace in their hearts? God says that along with truth and honor and justice and purity, fill your mind with good reports. That is, think about the best side instead of the worst side. Think about the news. We've been talking about the end of the year and the beginning of a new year. Let's talk about the last year. The news that you read in papers or online or on television, local and national, is it good reports or bad reports? Now, I know they always end with a puppy story at the end, just to show that they're not all barbarians. But good reports or bad reports? If it bleeds, it leads, right, is the phrase for local news. But Pastor, all these candidates are saying that the economy is awful and it's just terrible to live in America. Okay, that's what the report is. But what does your waistline say? Amen? We're all starving. But Pastor, it's so expensive now to drive my Escalade. Well, you know, did you ever think when you were young that you would even have the ability to buy or afford a mini Abrams tank? Amen? You see, the word is euphemeo. It means the good side. And for every single bad report in our society, there are at least 10 good reports. They're just not going to say them. And for a believer, 10,000 good reports. Look at verse 19. Paul says in the same text, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Can I ask you to think about the word supply for a moment in light of good reports versus bad reports? Did God supply? Now, I know, again, if you listen to the news and listen to candidates and listen to other people, you would think that we were living in the Great Depression. Did God supply or did he not supply all of your needs last month, October, this past year, 2019? Did you eat? Did you have clothes to wear? Did you have a place to sleep and a roof over your head? Did you have air and sunshine? Well, Pastor, Paul is talking about necessities. Oh, he is. But can I remind you of where Paul is when he's writing this epistle? Because he's not writing from some beautiful villa overlooking the slopes of Spain. He is writing these words from a dungeon in Rome. So with the clanging sounds of chains on his wrists, he and Timothy write the words of verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in a dungeon? He also wrote the words of verse 11, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He also wrote verse 18, "But I have all and abound." You see, folks, these men, look, they could have easily thought upon whatsoever things were a bad report. They were living in a bad report. But there was this good report, in that God had supplied all their needs. All their needs. Why not think about that and then enjoy the peace of God? How was your supply last month? How was your supply in 2019? Not according to the media, not according to the labor union or the politicians or your coworkers, not according to Bernie, but according to the reality of your life. Did you have food on the table? Did your children have food on the table, shoes on their feet? Were you able to get medicine this year that 90% of the world will never have access to? Did you get a paycheck? Did you have enough gas money to drive to work and back, to church and back? The light bill, the water bill, mortgage, rent. Is it true? And these go beyond our necessities, beloved. But is it true that these were supplied
throughout last month, throughout the previous year. Then whatsoever things are of good report, Paul says, think on these things. And again, this is not Pollyanna. He's in a dungeon writing these things. He is facing execution while writing these things. You know, this year is going to end soon. And a new year will begin soon. And it's always fascinating to me when you change all of a sudden from 1 month to another month, 1 year to another year. With a year, we're going to have to start getting used to writing 2020, right? Instead of 2019. In 1 day, your car depreciates. In 1 day, about $1,000. Worse than that, in 1 day, your wife refers to her entire wardrobe as last year's clothes. 1 day, everything changes. And it really is just a number on a calendar. And it will be when 2019 turns to 2020, but it's also a demarcation. It is a reminder that a milestone has passed so that we can evaluate what happened in the year before. And what has happened for us, beloved, is that in spite of all the bad reports, and I'm sure there are some bad reports yet to come, in spite of being told over and over again that these are the worst of times, every political year we are told that it's the worst conditions ever. It's the year of discontent. So get ready to hear bad report after bad report after bad report. You can still look at the actual truth, the actual supply, and know that instead of it being oh so bad, that God was faithful, that he supplied all your needs. That's whatsoever things are of good report. Look at verse 15. He says, now ye Philippians know also. By the way, for some reason, I've always been struck by that phrase. I have it marked in one of my oldest Bibles, probably 30 years ago. There's something about the phrase, ye Philippians. I think of Paul saying, ye Americans. Ye Floridians. In this case, you see, Philippians were citizens of Rome. At one time, worshiping idols without the light of Christ. But the verse says this, ye Philippians know that in the beginning the gospel came to them. And now he addresses these Philippians. But you know how he addresses them? Look at verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Think about that. Brethren, saints, children of God. Do you realize tonight, beloved, that in America's greatest year of peace or economic prosperity, in whatever year it was, the greatest growth or achieving of the American dream, you can pick the year you want, 1945, 1955, can reminisce and talk about the good old days all you want. Pick the finest year that you can ever think about in this country. Choose it. But if you were lost and without Christ during that year, it was not a good year. If you were lost and without Christ, as any believer in this room can testify, that on your very worst day as a Christian, it's better than the best year they ever had. See what it says again in verse 22? All the saints salute you. Look, I love what it says here. Chiefly, especially they, Paul's writing from Rome, that are of Caesar's household. You know what that means, Caesar's household? That means there were believers working for the emperor. There were believers in his household who are saluting the saints at Philippi. So let me ask you this. Who had a better year that year? Caesar, with all of his wealth and power and luxury, or the servants, the slaves of his household who were doing his bidding, right? Who had the best year, Caesar or the saints? I can tell you that with that year and nearly every year in 2,000 years since, it is the saints whose names have been written, not in the history books, but as verse 3 says, look at it. The last line, whose names are written in the book of life. Oh, no, Pastor, this is a really, October was the worst month ever. So far this year is the worst year ever. 2018 was the worst year. I can just go through all the reasons. Okay. But I can start talking to you about people who got saved last month, last year, this year. This man right here got saved last year. And, I mean, you're going to have a hard time convincing them that it was the worst time ever in America. The worst time ever in the world. There are people whose names are being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and for them, you're going to tell them, it was the worst time ever in the history of the world. They can think upon whatsoever things are of good report. But so it is for everyone in this room who have been saved by the grace of God. Never forget the eternal blessing of being called in the Bible a saint, a brother, a sister, a child of the living God. Never forget that if your name is written up there, it doesn't really matter where it's written down here. And Christian, all through this new month, and all through last month and last year, your name will be written up there. Look at verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, I love what he says here. Those yoke fellows, you know what a yoke fellow is? A yoke is something you attach yourself to, right? Or an animal does. And they labor together. Two people are laboring. And Paul says to these saints, to these fellow believers, these yoke fellows, these are people, Paul says, that are serving with me in the gospel. Verse 10, Paul says, your care of me hath flourished again. In other words, these were saints who had a purpose in life. These were believers who, in that year, horrible year, these were people who had opportunity to serve the Lord and mostly by serving others, which is to say that unlike most of the population in the world then, unlike almost all the population in the world right now, believers, Christians have a calling and a purpose for living on this earth. Jesus said, a single cup of water given to someone in my name is recorded up in heaven forever. So that what? Look, there's no futility or waste or emptiness in a believer's life because your life is connected with eternity. So there's bad reports. I just gave you a good one. You are not just training or loving children to grandchildren. You're serving the kingdom of God. You're not just a cashier at Publix. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ at Publix with a green apron on. That's all. Paul may have been confined to a prison when he's writing this. But every stone in that wall, in that cell, glowed like a diamond and shined like a piece of gold because there was the servant of the Most High God. How could he think positive thoughts? He thought on whatsoever things are of good report. It wasn't just positive thinking, it was the truth. The new governor of Kentucky will call 2019 the best year of his life because he was elected to the highest office in Kentucky, but understand that in 2019, you already had a higher calling than he'll ever have. You have, and you have received a higher calling than the President of the United States. These saints who labored in Caesar's household, I've thought about them often. They were slaves. What could they do? We talk about, problems in America and this. I mean, think of our freedom compared to these Christians in Caesar's household and think about their authority and how vile and wicked Nero and Diocletian and all of them were. What could they do, Pastor? Paul says that they're the saints in Caesar's. What could they do? I don't know. Maybe a sweet Christian girl sang a hymn while she combed the empress's hair. Maybe a steward rejoiced in the Lord always, and the imperial guard took notice and they marveled at it. Maybe the kindness and integrity of the stable master brought glory to God. I don't know, but whatever the case, we'll find out when we get to heaven. They were saints in Caesar's household. And the fact that they were was a far better report than being Caesar in Caesar's household. Think about that. That was a better report. They served a greater king than the emperor himself, and so did you, and so do you and I. Whatsoever things are of good report, look at verse 6.
Be careful. That means full of care, full of worry, for nothing. Don't be worrying about stuff. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I'm listening to the chains on his hands while he's writing. Let your request be made known unto God. You know, the word supplication comes from the same word for supply. It is a word that reminds us as Christians that we have access, full access, open access to the very throne room of God himself, and so much so that instead of worrying about everything this coming year or last year, you could be careful for nothing because we can instead let our requests be made known unto God. Take them right before him. Because you have had throughout this entire year a direct line to the God of heaven. Think about that. Who we get to talk to. You know, I remember when Larry King, remember him? He used to have a show on CNN, I think. And he would have these guests on there that supposedly could talk to dead people. And they took it. He took it seriously. They all took it seriously. People took it seriously in this country because they called in, the lines would light up. John something was one of the famous ones. And I remember looking at this and I'm thinking, I don't want to talk to dead people. There's a lot of living people I don't want to talk to, amen? And I remember looking at this and thinking, I don't want to talk to someone pretending to talk to a dead man. When I know that any moment and every moment I can talk to the living God for myself. And as a Christian, that is a privilege that you have been afforded all your Christian life. You will have afforded to you all the coming year and have had afforded to you all the past year. That is a good report. And whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. What was the news today? No, I saw some of it. I read a few things here and there. What was the news last week? What was the news for 2019? I mean the news, not according to MSNBC or the New York Times. But what was the report for you as a child of God this year, this week, October? Was it a good report or a bad report? Well, I can tell you that we've already talked about your names written in heaven, and God supplies all your needs. And you have an eternal purpose because you're serving an eternal God, and everything that you do for him is recorded in heaven. And you have the joy of supplication. You can go to the throne room of God in prayer, and we could go on and on. I just pulled out a few things in this text. All of these things is what make our lives a constant good report. Euphemeo, the good side of things, it's not hard, but guess what? We have to be commanded in the Bible to think on these things. That whatsoever things are of good report, it is a command. Think on these things. Why? Because we're constantly bombarded with bad reports. So you're not obligated to spend all your waking moments thinking about how bad things are. When as a child of God, you are commanded to think about how good things are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And people wonder why they have no peace, no assurance, no courage, no boldness. And they look at Paul and they think, I don't buy it. I don't buy a man in prison waiting for his head to be chopped off to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And whatsoever things are lovely and good, I don't buy it. You don't have to buy it, but believe it, because it's a gift that comes from God. It's a gift that God gives to those who fill their minds with things that are lovely. There's so much loveliness in this world from the Creator. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on it. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, honorable. You know, if you think about all the things already we've looked at, there's not a lot of time to think about heartache and pain and sorrow and suffering and sin and unlovely and impure thoughts. And it says the God of peace
And then the God of peace will keep your hearts and minds. And God's people said, amen. Father, we are grateful that you have shown us not only by way of commandment, but also by way of example through Paul and most especially through the Lord Jesus himself, that our thoughts and our minds are supposed to be on a higher plane, that we are to fill our minds and our thoughts with things that are pure and lovely and of good report. And Father, help us to recognize that if we could be just as even more obsessed with what goes into our heart than with what goes through our mouth, for that which is pure and good, we'll go a long way, dear Father, to correcting our thinking to yours. Bless, Father, all of us to the end that we understand the power of this text and the value of it in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.